Amen. Amen. Would you bow with me and let's pray. Father, we are thankful tonight for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for being good news in the world that we live in. It's good to know that there is good news. Thank you for this group of believers who have come to study from your word. I pray that you will allow this thy servant to be able to speak with the tongue of the learned. Yes, Lord. That I might be able to say a word in season. Yes, to they who are weary. Yes, Lord. And then, Father, if you would, be pleased to let your servant preach. Yes, in Jesus' blessed name. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see you tonight. In the words of American Airlines, glad you're here. Hopefully I'm not offensive to anybody. I'm a coatless preacher tonight. I was taken very hospitably by a wonderful family whose name shall remain anonymous. Took me to a wonderful restaurant, and we got to having such a good time. When we left the hotel, I thought we'd have time to go back by the hotel to get my jacket. Y'all do know I have one. Okay, all right. I didn't get my jacket, and I didn't get my Bible. And so I got a borrowed Bible and no jacket. But I'm glad to be here. All right. This is the last night of the meeting, and I solicit your prayers as we go homeward, if the Lord says the same, on the morrow. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians? And in 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 15. Allow me to read just a few verses. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. But if you're reading from any reliable translation, you'll not have any difficulty in following along in the reading. The Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he has been raised from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." Verse 20. "But now," and anytime you run onto a "but now," somebody ought to say, "Thank you, Jesus." But now, Christ, y'all missing a good time, a good place to say amen. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Now, verse 24 is our verse. Then comes the end. When he delivers the what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom of God to the Father. When he has put an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. We have been studying from Matthew chapter 13, the kingdom agenda. It's been a study that has taken us to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, where Paul says that my citizenship, if I'm in the kingdom, my citizenship is in heaven. I know that most of you here tonight are Houstonians and you're citizens. You are citizens of the great state of Texas, a citizen of the United States of America. But if you are a part of the kingdom of God, if you are a part of the kingdom of heaven, we ought to act like our citizenship is in heaven. And that simply means you can't act like all the other Houstonians. Amen. And then we read that not only is my citizenship in heaven, we went to Matthew chapter 6, and we discovered that Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come. Amen. Thy will be done," where?
On earth,
as it is in heaven. And then we decided we'd go over to Luke chapter 17, and at verse 20, the Pharisees asked Jesus, they said, "Now, you prayed for the kingdom to come and all that stuff. When is it coming?" And Jesus said, "The kingdom does not come by observation. You won't be able to say it's over here or it's over there." And the reason is because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is in you. And so, if the kingdom is in you, and your citizenship is in heaven, and Jesus prayed for the kingdom to come, it just made sense to me that we ought to know what the kingdom of heaven is like. Amen, amen somebody?
Amen.
And so, we went to Matthew chapter 13, where there are 8 parables, and they'll put the list on the screen for me. 8 parables, and 7 of the 8 parables began with what? Kingdom of heaven is like. All right? So somebody wanted to know what the... We ought to have a rich experience as kingdom citizens.
Amen.
And sometimes we get frustrated because we have an expectation of what it's like that does not fit reality. And so reality comes when we can investigate the Word of God and see who or what the kingdom is to be like based on what the Bible says. And so we looked at a couple of these parables. There's the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils. It was followed by the parable of the wheat and the tares, which is what we dealt with on last evening. It's followed by the parable of the mustard seed, which simply says it starts off small, but it grows. Amen. The parable of the leaven, which simply says that we ought to be influencing the world as opposed to the world. I wish I had a church somewhere around here. All right. the parable of the treasure in the field, the parable of the pearl of great price, the parable of the dragnet, and the parable of the householder. Obviously, I can't do all of those in the time that has been allotted, all right? So I gave you at least a start. I'd love to encourage you to study on your own. Now, tonight, since this is the last night, we wanted to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where at verse 24, the text says, "Then comes the end when the kingdom shall be delivered up to the Father." Is that all right?
Amen.
Now, end time preaching is what I want to do tonight. And to those of you who are scholarly, I have not violated staying with the pericope. The door got open in the pericope for me to say something about the end time. So we're going to do a little bit of eschatological teaching tonight. Is that all right? Hey, man, I'm looking around for some preachers because they, you know. Having said that, let's take a look. Let's go over to the book of Revelation, the book of the end time. And I'd like to read tonight. Y'all don't mind reading the word, do you? That was awful weak. Y'all don't mind reading the word, do you? All right. This is my last night. Y'all need to help me now. All you can. I told you I just left the restaurant. Revelation. And if you would allow me, I would like to read beginning at chapter 4, verse 1. And I really want to read. This was not written in chapters and verses. Okay? And so I would like to read. There are 11 or 12 verses in chapter 4 and 14 in chapter 5. Would you be so kind as to allow me to read all those verses, all right? I'm going to read aloud and encourage you to read silently. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven." Now, I read in John chapter 4 that in a dialogue that Jesus had with a woman from Sychar of Samaria, by well, and he said to her, "God is spirit." She asked him, "Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place," amen,
yeah,
"where men ought to worship."
Yeah.
And there are times we have a lot of emphasis on the place where men worship.
Fix it, preacher.
Jesus answered and said, "The time is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper," amen. See, the kingdom is the called out of the world, the ecclesia, made up of those who have committed to be under the rulership or the ruling of Jesus, who is the King of Kings. All right? He said to her, "The time is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship him." So what does it mean to worship in spirit? And there's so much controversy now about worship, styles of worship and where to worship and amen, somebody. But we need to appreciate that true worship has to do with you being able to worship in spirit. Is that all right? Those of you who have named the name of Christ, you have been given the Spirit of God. And the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of his. So those of you who are in the kingdom, and if you're not in the kingdom, we're going to tell you what to do tonight to be in the kingdom.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Yes.
But if you're in the kingdom, that really the kingdom is in you.
Yes.
Kingdom is in you.
Wow.
Now, so it's if I'm going to worship, I need to be able to worship how? In spirit. Now, the reason we're going to end with this passage in Revelation is because of what we are reading here in chapter 4, where the Bible says that John was told to come on up here, and I'm going to show you some things that must come to pass. And then he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So it's Sunday morning. And John is in the Spirit. And a door is open in heaven. Now, if it was a window, you might feel kind of bad crawling up through the window. But the door is open. Somebody say that's right. Amen, amen. Door is open. Now, if the door is open, I might feel good about walking in. The door is open in heaven. And then worship is going on. So we're going to look at this to get an idea of what spiritual worship looks like.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Come on.
Now, what I'd like to do, so I won't have to keep looking at the page, if we can put chapter 4 of Revelation on the screen, and then I'd also like to get a reader, one of you preachers or somebody who likes to read, don't mind me messing with them while you read. Amen. You going to read for me? Barry? Yeah. Yeah. You got a good voice too, man. Come on up here with me. All right. Yeah. Yeah, me and Barry worked together the other night. Do this for me. Let's start reading again at verse 1. And let me get connected with you, okay? He says, beginning at verse 1, this is Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 1.
After
the Bible
this,
says, after these things,
I looked,
and behold a door
was
standing
open
in heaven.
And the first voice which I heard
was
as it were
like
of a trumpet
speaking with me,
which said,
come up here,
and I will show thee
things that must take place after this. Next verse says,
And immediately I was in the spirit.
I'm in the spirit.
Y'all see
it? All right. I'm in the spirit.
And behold.
A throne was set in heaven.
And one sat on the throne. And he who sat on the throne. Was to look upon
like a jasper.
And a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow.
And there was a rainbow around the throne.
In appearance like an emerald.
Now, when you come to worship, when you come in and a spiritual worship, the first thing you ought to see is not Miss Sally's hat. The first thing you ought to concentrate on is seeing God seated on the throne.
Yes,
is that all right? Now, him sitting on the throne, preacher, says that God is in charge. Amen, somebody. And I'm glad that God is in charge. He's on the throne, got a rainbow around him. Rainbow says he's a covenant-keeping God. He's faithful to what he said. What he said he'll do, he'll do. And so when you come into spiritual worship, see first God enthroned. God is in charge. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
God is in charge.
Yes, sir.
He said, I see him on the throne. And to look at him, how do you see the Lord? How do you see him? I love what Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And how did I see him? He was high and lifted up. When you come into worship, how should you? Amen, somebody. How should you see the Lord? See, let me tell you something. No group of people, no congregation, no nation will rise above their view of God.
Yes.
How do you see God? And when you come to spiritual worship, you ought to see him high and lifted up. Amen. Come on, church. I want to see the Lord. How do you see him? High? Some of y'all didn't say nothing. Come on. I came in here, and the first one I ought to see is I ought to see the Lord. How should I see him? High and lifted up. Yeah, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. In my life, he's high and lifted up. If I'm in the kingdom, he's the one that's king. He's the king over everybody that's kinging. Amen. He's high and lifted up. Ain't no old folk had it right. Said he's so high, you can't get over him. Yeah. He's so low, you can't get under him. So wide, you can't get around him. Amen. So when you come to worship, your focus ought to be on God. Amen. Now, let's read on. Next verse says,
and round about the throne.
Round about the throne.
Four and 20 seats.
Round about the throne. They had four and 20 seats.
And upon the seat.
And these seats.
I saw four and 20
really,
elders.
These seats were thrones. And he said, upon these seats were four and 20 elders.
Sitting.
And they were sitting.
Clothed in white raiment.
Clothed in white raiment.
And they had on their heads crowns.
Listen, look at them. And they had on their heads crowns. Come on, Rita.
Of gold.
Come on, Barry. Crowns of gold.
And out of the throne proceeded lightning.
Now, this is worship. This is spiritual worship. Are y'all with me? Out of the throne
proceeded lightnings
and thunderings.
And voices.
Voices. All we have in a time. Amen. So, spiritual worship. Spiritual worship don't have to be quiet. Amen. Amen. It's celebration time. When I come to spiritual worship, I'm glad to be here. And it shows on my countenance. I didn't have to get up this morning. It was God who got me up and started me on my way. That's good news. I'm coming to a place where there's good news. And I see God high lifted up. Now, around the throne, you got 420 elders. Now, you have to remember, this is Hebrew numerology. The number 12 was the number for organized religion. Now, we've been studying, and some of the pushback is about institutional religion. Let me tell you something. There's some order in this worship. Amen. So you can't act like you want to act in worship. And sometimes people, not in here, I don't know none of y'all. I know a couple of you. Howard, where you at? And I know Michi and a couple of more of you. So I ain't talking about you, but spiritual worship. Help me somebody. It's not a cemetery. It's celebration time. Man, the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Oh, and I want to thank him. Oh, I want to thank him. I've gotten to where now I got a list of stuff I thank him for. When I get out of bed, I'm thanking him for. I know if it had not been for the for the Lord on my side. And I thank him for being good news. The gospel is good news.
Man.
If you preaching the gospel, it's good news to somebody. Amen. Amen. We celebrating good news. Now, I got to hear, because I enjoy all this stuff, so I preach too long. Okay, come on, Barry.
There were seven lamps of fire
and
burning before the throne.
Seven lamps
of fire.
Of fire burning
before the throne.
Now, but let me, the number 12 is the number for organized religion. So when I came in, it's 12 plus 12. It's 24. It's 24. What he's talking about is there were 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles. That's Old Covenant and New Covenant, all of them up in heaven. Woo! Amen. Amen. So I come in and it's organized. It's 420 elders. Elders are overseers.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a lesson all in itself. But a church That's why I'm grateful. I love coming to Fifth Wall. You got some great elders.
Amen.
And it's interesting. Every time I've heard somebody pray, they pray for the elders.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And you can't push back from God's order.
No, sir.
Not if you're going to have spiritual worship. All right. So I didn't come in worship. They left the door open. I'm in the spirit on Lord's Day. I come in, I see God high lifted up, sitting on the throne, got a rainbow around him, which means he's a covenant-keeping God. He's going to do what he says he's going to do around the throne. You got 420 elders, and they dressed in white. Amen, somebody. That means you got some order. God in charge. Now, watch how much, even if you're an elder. Can we talk? We're going to talk anyway, because it's my last night. I'm going home in the morning. Look at even leaders, even elders.
Yeah.
What does he say about them, Barry?
Sitting clothed in white raiment.
They clothed in white raiment.
On their head, crowns of gold.
Got crowns of gold on the head. Yeah.
And out of the throne proceeded
lightnings. Out of the throne, we got lightnings and thunderings.
And voices.
Voices.
There were seven lamps of fire burning before
seven
the throne.
Seven lamps of fire.
Which
now,
are
the number seven is the number for completion.
Spirits of God.
Okay. You got seven.
Spirits of God.
And these are the seven spirits of God. Okay. Now, Barry, you're reading like a preacher. Me and you preaching together. Okay.
And before the throne.
And before the throne.
There was a seat of glass.
Was a sea of glass.
Like unto crystal.
Like unto crystal.
And in the midst of the throne.
Midst of the throne.
And round about the throne.
Round about the throne.
Four beasts full of eyes
there
before
were four beasts.
And behind.
Now, he's reading from the King James, aren't you?
Yes.
There were four beasts. Now, and that confusing somebody. That's why you need to read this from more than one reliable translation. If you read from the New King James, there are four living creatures, okay? Now, who are these creatures? Well, let's keep reading. And well, first of all, notice they're full of eyes. Got eyes in the front and the back. They can see it ever which way. They can see all right. When you come into worship, let me get over here. Y'all might help me a little more here. You come into spiritual worship. You don't act like you're on the parking lot.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Because there's somebody there that can see all around.
Yes.
Can you remind me of my mother? I'm from that era where mama and all the kids came to worship. Mama would come in. There were six of us. They called us stair steps. Because mama had one. Yeah. And I'm from that era where the children sat with the. And I'm from that era where mama didn't have to say anything to you. All she had to do was look at. I wish I had something. Yeah. Because mama took care of discipline at home.
Yeah.
Don't you come in here and and I'm from that era where they had phrases.
Yeah.
They had phrases like this, boy, I made you, I'll take you out and make another one just like, I wish I had somebody knew what I was talking about. Yeah, yeah. And so I learned how to worship watching mama worship. And I learned that worship is about being respectful. Amen, amen, amen. Are y'all all right? All right. And so he said, what did he say?
And the first beast creature, was like a lion.
He said, now these beasts, these living creatures, got eyes all around, front and back. Somebody had a mama, had eyes in the back. Yeah, she can. It's like she can see everything. Well, let me get on. Barry, what'd you say, Reed?
And the first beast was like a lion.
These four beasts. First beast was like a lion.
The second beast like a calf.
Second beast was like a calf.
The third beast had a face as a man.
Third beast had the face of a man.
And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
And the fourth one was like a flying eagle. Now, what's that about? Well, the first one had a face like a lion. That's about strength. Is that all right?
And the second one had the face of a calf. That's about humility. When you come in here, you come in not really under your strength, but under God's strength. And you come in here humble. You don't come in here proud and boisterous. And amen, somebody. We come in here like we're doing God a favor. I ain't talking about none of y'all. Like God ought to pat you on the back for having made it to worship. Man, you ought to come in here humble. Really, we ought to crawl in here. It's God who's high and lifted up. Come on, Barry. Don't stop no more, man. Come on. Wait, Barry. Let me explain. So you got a face of a lion. That's the strength. You got a face of a calf. That's humility. You got a face of a
man.
Man, that's intelligence. You got a face of a
flying eagle.
Flying eagle. That's swiftness. And so in worship, the God you serve is even over all of those characteristics. Is that all right? Now, watch us read.
And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him.
Now, this gives you an idea of what these beasts really are. Okay? They got six wings.
Yeah.
Come on, church. They got six wings. This is an angelic being. King James says beast, but if you keep reading, you see these are angelic beings. What this are, they are ranks of angels.
Yeah.
And one of the ranks is called seraphim. A seraphim was a six-winged angel with two wings covered his face. Two wings covered his feet. Two wings. Wish I had somebody could sing. Oh, that's a good place right there. Yeah, two wings cover my face. When I come in, shame-faced.
Yeah.
Ain't that all right? I don't come in here looking around to see it. I come in here shamefaced. I come in here covering my feet.
Yeah.
Feet in that culture was offensive.
Yes.
I come in here with humility, and I don't want to do anything that offends.
Yes.
Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Yeah. So when I come in here with humility, and if a visitor is sitting in my seat,
Lord, no. Lord, no.
I don't know who I'm talking to. I just been gone crazy. I don't know who I'm talking to. But when you come in here with humility and you got your eyes fixed on God, if somebody's sitting in your seat, you come by and shake their hand, say, glad you're here. Come on, sir. And I'll go get me another seat. If I have to stand up, I'm humble enough to let you have my seat. Amen, sir. Okay, don't stop no more now, Barry, because I ain't going to be able to get through.
And they were full of eyes within.
All right, they're full of eyes within.
And they rest not day and night.
They rest not. Look at them. They rest not day and night.
Saying, holy, holy,
and
holy.
And they got a song.
Lord God Almighty.
Wait, Barry. Yeah, they singing. You know, when you come to worship, here's the song you ought to have in your heart. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Earth is full of his glory. Come on, Barry.
Which was,
and is
to come.
Is to come. Read.
And when those beasts give glory
and honor, when those angelic creatures start giving glory
and honor and thanks to him.
That sits on the throne,
who liveth forever and ever.
All right, now don't stop right there. When they worshiping now, yeah, and it's thundering and lightning and all, we having a time. And God is on the throne and the rainbow in the church. They singing holy, holy, holy. And what happens?
The 24 elders fell
those
down before him that sat
elders,
on the throne.
That's what I told you. Even leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
Even white robed, crowned leaders fall down and worship. Is that right?
Yes.
Ain't no big eyes and little ears. Read.
And that worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their thrones,
they
crowns
cast
before the
their
throne.
Crowns before the throne.
Saying, thou art worthy.
They cast, y'all see them?
Yes.
They cast their crowns before the throne, and they say,
thou art
thou
worthy.
art worthy.
O Lord.
O Lord.
To receive glory and honor.
And you're worthy. That's what we're doing when we come to worship. That's spiritual worship.
Yes.
You are worthy to receive what?
Glory. And honor.
Honor.
Power.
Power.
For thou hast created all
because
things.
Because you created all things.
For thy pleasure.
For your pleasure.
They are and were created.
And it was for your pleasure they are
and were created.
Read.
Chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him.
And the reason we're reading right on through is because that's the way that was written, okay? And I saw
in the right hand
in the right
of him
hand
that sat on the throne.
Of him who sat on the throne.
A book written.
A scroll written.
Within and on the backside.
And it was
sealed
with seven seals. On the outside, on the inside, it's sealed with seven seals. Now, seven just simply means complete. It's completely sealed. Is that all right? It's completely sealed. All right, Barry, what did he say?
And I saw a strong angel.
I saw a strong angel.
Proclaiming with a loud voice. Who is worthy to open the book?
If you brought your Bible, you ought to underline. Who is worthy to open the scroll?
And to loose the seals thereof.
And loose the seals. Look at this next verse.
And no man in heaven.
They looked.
Nor in earth.
They looked.
Neither under the earth.
Bear you rushing with. They looked. You're a blessed man. They looked in heaven. Nobody worthy. Looked on earth. Nobody worthy. Looked under the earth. Well, what's that about? That means nobody worthy on top of the ground, that's the living. Nope. Yeah, nobody worthy in the ground, that's the dead one. Nobody living or dead or even in heaven was worthy to open the book. What happened?
I wept much.
John starts to cry.
Because no man was found
worthy. Don't rush me right through that, man. I got something I want to tell you. John starts to cry. You know why he's crying? Because nobody was worthy to open a book. John weeps. I spent some time not long ago with John Tillman. I understand he's a son of Fifth Ward. Over there at Garden Oaks. And John been to Jerusalem about 20 times. Y'all don't tell him I'm talking about him. Okay. But he tells me that there's a cave. And it's reported that it's the very cave in the Holy Land where John received the revelation. And Tillman said there's a shelf. A natural rock ledge in it. And tradition has it that John used that natural rock shelf as a desk to write the revelation. They say it was his desk during the day, it was his bed at night. And John sees the scroll, and he knows the scroll tells what's going to happen. But it's sealed up, and ain't nobody worthy. And it precipitates weeping. And I get the idea. Tillman and I were talking about it. I get the idea. This is not just a tear over here and a tear over there. Somebody wrote that, what is a tear? They said, a chemist will tell you that a tear is a solution of sodium chloride and some other chemicals with some calcium,
And it's a solution that's meant to wash the eyeballs, to help you see more clearly. That's all a tear is. A Stoic will tell you that a tear is just the triggering of the emotion of your imagination. And that's why real men don't cry. I rather believe that a tear comes from the piercing of the heart. And it's the tearing apart, allowing for the hurt deep within your soul to be used as a canvas where they paint your pain across it. John weeps. Watch one of the elders. He comes and he says, John.
And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not.
Don't weep.
Behold.
Don't.
The Lamb.
Wait. Don't cry. Don't weep, John. Thank you. Yeah, don't weep. See, spiritual worship gets personal.
Amen.
You can't hide in the crowd. He says, don't weep. He says, behold,
the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Out of Judah.
The root of David.
The root and offspring of David. He has prevailed
to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
There is somebody worthy. Help me, somebody. There is somebody worthy. Look at the next verse.
And I beheld.
I beheld.
And lo, in the midst of the throne.
In the midst of the throne.
And of the four beasts.
Now he turns around. He's expecting to see a man. Lion out of Judah. The root and offspring of David. But when he turns, look what he sees.
In the midst of the throne.
In the midst of the throne.
And of the four beasts.
Four beasts.
And in the midst of the elders.
Midst of the elders.
Stood a lamb. As it had been
wait
slain.
Wait a minute. Wait. So you can't rush through that.
Yeah.
When you come into spiritual worship, you ought to see the lamb.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm about through. But you ought to see the lamb. If you come to worship and you don't see the lamb, you have not worshiped. But look at this lamb. Read, Barry.
As though it had been slain.
This was a lamb as though it had been
slain.
One translation says he yet bore the marks of his crucifixion. The Bible and Christianity is a bloody business. This lamb yet bore the marks of his sacrifice. Somebody said, why has it got to be bloody? Y'all come here. Why is it bloody? Why don't they clean him up? When I come to worship, why I got to see him bloody? A couple of years ago, I was at the school lectureship in Dallas, and it was the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy. And I remember I was in junior high school when it happened, but I remember, in fact, I'm kind of an assassination buff. I got the video because of Abraham Zapruder's video, we can see frame by frame what happened. And you get to the part where there's the kill shot. And if you watch it long enough, you see Jackie Kennedy crawling out of the back seat, out onto the trunk. And it's as though she's reaching to grasp some of the gray matter that had been blown from his head. When the shooting was done and the presidential limo raced off to Parkland Hospital, they pronounced him dead. And I never will forget the people who handled the first lady came and said, "Mrs. Kennedy, let's go clean you up. You got his blood all over that pretty pink suit. You're going to be on camera before the nation and the world. Let's go get you cleaned up." And she said, "No." She said, "I want them to see what they've done." When you come into spiritual worship, see the Lamb.
Yes.
See him bloody.
Yes.
So you can see what you've done.
Yes.
Lord, Lord.
Yes.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there? Oh, sometimes causes me to tremble.
Yes, sir.
Tremble. Tremble. Were you there when they crucified him? I was not there physically. You were not there physically. But my sins were there.
Yes.
My Lord.
Spiritual worship necessitates that you see the Lamb and that you see him bloody and be called to remember that my sins helped put him there.
Yes, indeed.
Your sins put him there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Spiritual worship. There's healing in spiritual worship. There's salve for your wounds. In spiritual worship.
Yes,
oh, yes.
There's hope for the hopeless. Father for the fatherless. A companion for those who feel like you're all alone. In spiritual worship.
Thanks, Lord.
There's some hope.
Oh,
yes.
I wouldn't dare stay in the bed on Sunday morning when spiritual worship is going on.
Yes, yes.
I would not come in here with attitude.
Yes.
I'd come in here not looking at who's here, but I want to look and see the Lamb. That was slain. Now, citizens, heavenly citizens, those who are vessels of the Spirit of God, the kingdom of heaven deposited in you, one day the end is going to come. And we'll all be delivered up to the Father.
Yes.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you.
And what we've just seen, see, God does not look at the future like we look at it. We look at the future like it's up here. Here's the way God looks at it. God says it's back to the future. What God does is he goes to the future and he sees the future, and then he comes back so he could tell you what he saw. When you read this in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, you're reading from he who has already been to the future.
Amen.
And come back so he can tell you what must shortly come to pass. Since this is my last night, I'm going to extend the invitation. I want to just say to you that you're sitting in this audience tonight. You have gotten a glimpse of it. Let me tell you what this did for me. It made me where worship ain't something I got to do.
Yes.
Worship is something I get to do. We ought to be thankful when we can come to worship. We ought to come in here praising him. We got this tradition where the song leader got to get you ready.
Yeah.
And we leave with words like, well, I didn't get nothing out of it. They didn't sing my song. I don't know who I'm talking to.
But
yeah, yeah. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. And I looked at sister so-and-so, and she looked at me funny. Yeah, amen, somebody. When you in that place, you didn't see what you were supposed to see. See the Lamb. Somebody say, see the Lamb. Now, come on, church, help me. See the Lamb that was slain. And be thankful that the grave couldn't hold it. Paul said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, I ain't got nothing to preach. And your faith ain't about nothing. That's why my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground. We're going to sing a song. And if you get a night, I'd be afraid to leave here tonight unsaved.
Oh, yes.
I'd be afraid to leave here tonight standing a guilty distance from God. Preacher, what do I need to do? You need to come to him tonight by faith. As a repentant believer, confessing Jesus to be the Christ. John, who was called the Baptist, looked and saw him coming and said, "Look, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world." Earlier, two of the disciples of John had said, "We have found the Messiah, the one Moses talked about." We ought to find it. If you find in the Messiah, that's a reason to celebrate. Yeah, the one Moses talked about in the prophets, the one that said, "Upon this rock,
yes,
I'll build my church."
Yes.
"And the gates of hell shall not prevail against him." And when you go down in the watery grave of baptism, you come up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Yes.
Which makes sense when they brought to him one named Simon.
Yes.
Jesus said to him, "Your name's Simon. But you shall be called Peter, Cephas, a rock." And all of his friends said, "He ain't no rock. We know Simon, vacillating, tempestuous. He might cuss in a minute. But when you come to Jesus," help me somebody, "folk ought to recognize a change in your life." Jesus said, "They call you Simon, but I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to work a change in your life, and you shall be called." It's my last night. I just want to help somebody to see the Lamb that was slain and to know he died for you. His blood cleanses your sin problem. How can you resist a Savior like that? Who's the singer? You singing? Come on up here with me. And Barry, where you go, man? Thank you, man. You did a great job. God bless you. Now it's me and your turn. You know, you look a lot like another man in here.
That's my brother right there.
That's your brother?
That's my brother. I'm his brother.
You. Y'all brothers.
Yes, sir.
Do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Go up here and stand behind the podium. What song are we going to sing?
Have you been to Jesus? Have you washed in the blood of Jesus?
Have you been to Jesus for the
cleansing power?
Cleansing power.
Are you washed in the blood of Jesus?
In the blood. Now the version I sang on that says, "Are you washed in the blood
of the Lamb?
Yeah. That's perfect song. Now that we didn't correct it up.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Yeah. See the Lamb. Come on to the Lamb. Some 50 plus years ago, I was in a service much like this and heard the word of God. A few weeks before that my mother had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which was once delivered to the saints. And I never shall forget that Sunday morning. They started singing. And the song was, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein." And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And I couldn't help myself. Spiritual worship will put you in a place where you can't help yourself. I hope it does that to somebody here tonight as we sing the song while we stand.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in His grace? Here's how. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood. Spotless are they, white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the same?
Come on, everybody sing.
Are you washed in the blood?
This is our way of inviting people to come to Christ.
Each
moment they can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed
in the blood?
Are you washed
of the Lamb?
And if you're not washed, come on down tonight and be washed
in the blood.
The song asks a good question. Are you washed?
Cleansing blood.
The soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless?
Are they white
as snow? Are you washed? Are you washed? We're going to say one more stanza. Come on to Jesus. Will you robes
be white?
Pure and white. In the blood of the Lamb.
Will your soul be
ready? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright? Are you washed?
In the blood.
Are you washed? Come on, church. Everybody. Are you washed? Oh, in the blood. In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are your garments?
Yes, sir.
Spotless are they, white as snow.
Yes, sir.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
One moment. He's going to sing the last stanza, and this meeting is going to be over. This could be the last time that we have this opportunity. I have a picture, photograph, a framed photograph in my house, and it's of a man named Sonny Fisher. Sonny Fisher is on horseback riding in a parade in Dallas, Texas. He's leaning over the horn of the saddle of his horse, and he's shaking hands with someone. And as you study the picture, the man that's standing on the ground that he's shaking hands with is John Fitzgerald Kennedy. A friend of Sonny Fisher allowed me to talk to him. And I understand that that photograph was taken 30 minutes. Before they killed him. What would you do?
Lord Jesus.
if this was your last 30 minutes. He had no way of knowing that Lee Harvey Oswald had already gone up to the sixth floor of the Texas Book Depository. That he already had loaded the rifle. That 30 minutes later, Kennedy would be in a motorcade coming through Dealey Plaza. And that would be his last ride. What would you do? What would you do? See, we take so much for granted. This was a man of prestige and power. He had a whole group within the government called a Secret Service that was to protect him. When your time comes, I wish I had somebody knew what I thought. This could be my time. I hope to get back to Oklahoma City to see my family, but there's no guarantee that I'll get there. You came here tonight fully expecting to go home tonight, but there's no guarantee. What would you do if this was your last 30 minutes? You make up your mind while he leads us in this last verse.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, yeah, everybody.
All you are.
Yes, sir.
In the blood.
In the blood.
In the soul. Cleansing blood.
Of the Lamb.
All your garments.
You may have a seat.
Spotless are they white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of
yeah.
the Lamb?
Are you washed? One more.
Are you washed in the blood? Soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Oh, your garments spotless
are they white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Listen, listen. Thank you. Been an awesome group of folk to preach to and teach. Now, thank you. I really, really do. I'm going to turn you over to the minister and the leaders of the church. But I want to add my name to the list of people that you're going to pray for tonight.
Yes.
I enjoy asking for your prayers in words that are much more eloquent than my own words. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote a piece of prose called Camelot. There's a stone that has a rocket, has a sword through the rock. And a young boy pulls that sword out. It's a tremendous sword. It's a great sword, Excalibur. Pulls it out, and that young boy's name was Arthur. He became king. He was surrounded by some great knights. They were called the Knights of the Round Table. When Arthur was mortally wounded and they laid his body on a barge to push it out to sea for burial, Lord Tennyson writes, and slowly answered Arthur from the barge. The old order changes, giving place to new, And God fulfills himself in many ways. Comfort thyself. What comfort is in me that I've lived my life, and whatsoever things I've done, may God within himself make pure. But as for you, if you shall never see my face again, pray for my soul. For more things have been wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. I hope God is gracious and we'll be able to see one another again. Amen. On this time side of life. But if you shall never see my face again, pray for my soul. Amen. For more things have been wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. God bless you. Thank you very much. Amen.